our 10th anniversary of independence. Let us make it great like it never did before. So we got to have peace.
Peace. Peace in Jamaica.
Peace in Jamaica. And goodwill to everyone. Thank you.
The long-range forecast for today, Wednesday, the 1st of September, mainly sunny, 24 degrees. On Thursday, mainly sunny, 23 degrees. On Friday, a mix of sun and clouds, 21 degrees. On Saturday, mainly sunny, 23 degrees. On Sunday, cloudy with showers, 25 degrees. And on Monday, risk of thunderstorm, 21 degrees. The musical selections this morning includes recordings produced by the great Lee Scratch Perry, who recently passed away. May he rest in peace. His musical legacy will live on.
Blessed love, crowd of people, and blessed love, Dawn Specialist. This is Kaya Kindu on the Full Circle Show. CKUT 90.3 FM, yo. Hope you all enjoy my selections this morning. Aight.
Blessed love, crowd of people. from Bismarcky, dedicated to the radio, not he and she. Because it's time for them to get recognized. This is my version of the Nobel Peace Prize. That's why I'm coming out my face like this. Far as negativity, you never get this. Good weather for you, nobody would know. That's why this is some for the radio. To the radio DJs to play all the hits on 7 days, and even on the weekends the DJs will be freaking without a doubt, because everyone is unique in the way they cut the records and be talking. It sounds due to extra crazy death on a Walkman to all the disc jockeys that's on the go. This is some for the radio. Requesting my records on the radio, greatly appreciate what you've done for me. And my reward to you is my M-U-S-I-C. Straight up, I make the music just for you, so you can do the extra crazy Bismarck dance too, or even do the dance made up by yourself, as long as you use your good physical health. Because you're the one to make the radio hype, like fresh tobacco and a brand new pipe. A program director always pick the right hits, like putting some salt and pepper and butter on grits. I always look up the program directors, cause they're the ones that jam selected. A couple of years ago when I didn't have a record player on the radio,
from one another. You get caught in the mid, so to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you can unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause, the way we live is positive, we don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headlines, front page, and raps, the name. MC Delight here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Took a brother's life with a knife as his wife cried, cause he died a trifling death when he left his very last breath. Was I slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gang bang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, cause that's
self-destruction.
All that jazz.
It's time to stand together in a unity. Cause if not, then yo, we're soon to be self-destroyed, unemployed. D-rap race will be lost without a trace or a clue. But what to do is stop the violence and kick the science down the road that we call eternity, where knowledge is formed and you learn to be self-sufficient, independent. To teach to each is what rap intended, but society wants to invade. So do not walk this path that they laid. It's
self-destruction.
Let's get together because we're falling apart. I heard a brother shot another, it broke my heart. I don't understand the difficulty, people. Love your brother, treat him as an equal. They call us animals, I don't agree with them. I'll prove it wrong, but right is what you're proving them. Take heed before I leave to what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
The heavy deep, deep in the heart of the matter. The self-destruction is served on a platter. Making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, pick them. In jail, but to the vets, they're a duck. There's no one around, cause in jail, you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about
self-destruction.
Yes, we urge to merge. We live for the love of our people, the hope to get along.
Yeah, so we did a song.
Getting a point to our brothers and sisters who don't know the time.
Boy, so we run around.
Instead of your heads, you know our job to build and collect ourselves with intellect.
Come on.
To revolve, to evolve, to self-respect.
Cause we got to keep ourselves in check.
Or else it's
self-destruction. Yeah, it was self-destruction.
Good afternoon. No matter what your point of view may be, there is significant in the growth in Chicago and across the United States, if not around the world, of a movement known as the Black Muslims, a movement which is popularly believed to preach a doctrine of hatred for the white race and the ultimate supremacy of the Negro race. The headquarters of the Muslim movement is here in Chicago in the 5300 block of South Greenwood, and its leader now is known as Elijah Muhammad. He's in residence here. The most active person in the spreading of the Black Muslim movement is Elijah Muhammad's second in command, who calls himself Malcolm X. And Malcolm X is our guest today on City Desk. Across the desk, our panelists this week are NBC newsmen Charles McCune, Floyd Calver, and Len O'Connor. And Mr. X, may I begin by asking you, if you will please, outline us for us the platform and policies of the Muslim organization.
Well, the platform that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our religious leader, stands upon is the platform of complete freedom, justice, and equality for the 20 million black people, or so-called Negroes here in America. And he teaches us that because of the seriousness of the condition that our people now find themselves in, that it's absolutely impossible to solve our problems with means other than religion. And he teaches us that the religion of Islam is the only religion that will instill within our people the incentive to stand on our own feet. And instead of trying to force ourselves upon whites or force ourselves into the white society or blame the white man for our predicament and constantly beg him for what he has, he says that the only way that we can solve our problem is to unite together among ourselves, among our own kind, clean ourselves up, rid ourselves of the evils that we've become addicted to here in this society, and try and solve our problem ourselves.
And I referred to the popular belief that the Muslims preach a hatred for the white race. You do not subscribe to this, then?
No. I've never heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach or preach hatred for anyone. He preaches hatred against evil, against drunkenness, against dope addiction, against poverty, and against having to beg for the things that a man is supposed to have. But I've never heard him teach us or any of his followers hatred toward any human being.
Do you think that some of his followers possibly then have misinterpreted the word that they've heard and follow a practice of hatred for the white race?
I don't think that any Muslim practices hatred toward anyone. We have businesses around the country that are patronized by whites, and we have many businesses here in Chicago, and our customers are white as well as our own kind. And a white person can go into any of these places of business, and he'll have to admit that he is treated with more respect, and he finds more dignity there than he will find among the so-called Negroes who profess to be teaching love for everyone.
You've referred to the Negroes as so-called Negroes. You find some fault with this description,
yes.
I gather.
Mr. Muhammad teaches us that Negro is a term that was applied to us during slavery by the slave master. And right today, it's a term that is used only to point out the descendant of slaves. It's never used for black people, period. Africans can come to this country. They aren't called Negroes. And if they are called Negroes, they resent it. So if Negro meant black, as we've been taught, it would be a term that would be applicable to or pliable to everyone. Mm-hmm. But he says that it is something that means a slave or something who is, it means something that has been left out of society, politically, economically, educationally, and otherwise.
You don't think of it as an anthropological term?
Definitely. It's not an anthropological term. It's a slave term. And it was a term that was invented in America and was used by the slave makers, slave traders, and slave masters, and attached to the property or the chattel or merchandise that our people represented in that particular day.
Mr. O'Connor.
What is your real name?
Malcolm. Malcolm X.
Is that your legal name?
As far as I'm concerned, it's my legal name.
Have you been to court to establish the
story? I didn't have to go to court to be called Murphy or Jones or Smith. Excuse me for answering you this way.
That's all right.
If a Chinese person were to say his name was Patrick Murphy, you would look at him like he's insane, because Murphy is an Irish name, a European name, or the name that has a Caucasian or a white background. And a yellow person, Chinese is a yellow man, and he has nothing to do or no connection whatsoever with the name Murphy. And if it doesn't look proper for a person who is yellow or Chinese to be walking around named Murphy or Jones or Johnson or Bunch or Powell, I think it would be just as improper for a black person or the so-called Negro in this country, as we're taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to walk around with these names. And therefore, he teaches us that during slavery, the same slave master who owned us put his last name on us to denote that we were his property. So that when you see a Negro today who's named Johnson, if you go back in his history, you'll find that he was once his grandfather, or one of his forefathers was owned by a white man who was named Johnson. His name is Bunch. His grandfather was owned by a white man that was named Bunch.
Would you mind telling me what your father's last name was?
My father didn't know his last name. My father got his last name from his grandfather, and his grandfather got it from his grandfather, who got it from the slave master. The real names of our people were destroyed during slavery.
Was there any line, any point in the genealogy of your family when you did have to use the last name? And if so, what was it?
The last name of my forefathers was taken from them when they were brought to America and made slaves. And then the name of the slave master was given, which we refuse. We reject that name today.
You won't even tell me what your father's supposed last name was or gifted last name was?
I never acknowledge it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about the status of Elijah Muhammad. First of all, is he ill?
I spoke to him today. He is in better health than he has been. He's suffering from asthmatic bronchitis.
Is that why he didn't attend your rally on last Tuesday?
The only reason that he didn't attend was his ill condition, and the weather here, especially on that particular day, was of such nature that it would have been almost insane for him to come.
Well, now, did you hold that meeting last Tuesday because it coincided with the general election, the primary election?
I think if you study the history of Mr. Muhammad's work and religious work in this country, we've had our convention on February the 26th every year for, I think, the past 33 years.
Well, now, while you don't care to discuss your former name or the name that the slave master gave to your antecedents, it is a matter of record that Muhammad's last name was Poole, Elijah Poole.
No, that's the name that his slave master gave to his grandfather or great-grandfather, but that's not his name.
Well, his mother and father thought when they called him Elijah Poole that was his name.
They didn't know any better.
Well, if they didn't know any better or not, they thought that was his name.
Yes, sir, but sir...
Well, what I'm trying to find out is when did he cease to be Elijah Poole and get to be Elijah Muhammad?
In 1931, I think it was, in Detroit, he was taught the true history of our people and made aware at that time that he was wearing an English name, and by not being an Englishman, he looked out of place. And his teacher gave him the name that he's wearing today, Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad.
All right, now when did he become what he purports to be in your literature, the son of Allah?
I've never heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad referred to as the son of Allah.
The prophet of Allah.
I've never heard him referred to as the prophet of Allah.
What do you refer to him
as? Messenger of Allah.
All right, the messenger of Allah, and I appreciate the correction.
Yes, he says that a prophet is somebody who predicts the future, and he's not predicting the future, whereas a messenger is someone who carries a message that has been given to him by one who authors that message.
Well, now, who gave him the message, and to whom is it supposed to be delivered?
Master W.F. Muhammad, the one who taught him, is the author of the message. He gave it to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which makes him the messenger. And he's to deliver that message of truth and righteousness to the 20 million American so-called Negroes, which means he's to teach us the truth, which will awaken us, and then show us how to live a life of righteousness, which will automatically qualify us for recognition as human beings by all other righteous human beings here on this earth.
Well, now, one other question. With reference to what Mr. Hurlbut asked you a little bit ago, you took a very moderate position of wanting independence without having any hatred for the whites. Do I understand that correctly?
Hatred is not involved in it whatsoever.
Well, I recall in a recent plane crash, I mean two or three years ago, or less than that, a charter flight on Air France in which a group of people from Atlanta, Georgia, were, as they say, in the business, as they took off from Arleigh Field, and you were quoted at that time as expressing great gratification that this tragedy had occurred. Do you recall that?
I recall it.
What did you say? Do you remember?
The press misinterpreted it and misrepresented it.
What did you say?
They said that it was made at a Muslim meeting. It wasn't. It was made at a rally of Negroes, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, and otherwise in Los Angeles, who were rallying to protest the brutal shooting of seven unarmed Negroes
and what did you
by
say?
Heavily armed white policemen in the city of Los Angeles. And because we are a people who have been taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to never carry weapons of any kind, but to get on God's side and rely on God to fight our battles for us, at the time that these brothers were shot down so brutally, I pointed out at the funeral of the brother who died that God would step in and take a hand in giving us some form of justice for the brutal killing of our brother. And when the plane crashed in France, I pointed out to the crowd at this rally that this was an act of God showing his wrath or complete resentment over the brutal form of injustice that had been inflicted upon our poor unarmed brothers.
Were you saying that, or Billy, do you believe
Graham,
that?
At that time, Dr. Billy Graham was in a crusade in Chicago, and the press, your papers here in this city, quoted Billy Graham of also saying that that plane crash was an act of God. And if you take time to check the newspapers, I think that you'll find that this is correct. But no one thought that Billy Graham was so wrong when he attributed the crash of this plane to his God. But when we say that it come from our God, then we're looked upon as being, you know, outrageous.
I know, but you took the position that this was a matter of satisfaction to you for an injustice done against you. And I think that that's a trifle severe.
We did not think that it was a coincidence that 120 of the whites on this plane came from the state of Georgia, a state that has the worst record in the history of America for the mistreatment of black people in this country.
Worse than Mississippi?
They maybe are a little less Mississippi is a little less hypocritical today than Georgia, but both of them are still practicing the same thing. Now the whites in Georgia bite Negroes with a smile, whereas they used to bite them with a growl. But they're still being bitten, and we don't think that it is any worse to be bitten with a smile than it is to be bitten with a growl.
Mr. Calvert.
While we're on the subject of Mississippi, what is your organization's position of what happened in Mississippi in the past 6 months?
Such as what?
Such as the James Meredith incident and the enrollment of him in the university.
Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wants justice for every one of the 20 million so-called Negroes. And to just take one Negro and stick him in college with the aid of six, 15,000 troops and at a cost of $6,000 is a disgrace. It's a waste of taxpayers' money. It's a farce. It's hypocrisy. Because if it's right for one Negro to be forced into that university, then every Negro in the state of Mississippi who is qualified has the same right to go to that university. And if the government is not ready and willing to enforce the right of every Negro in the state of Mississippi, then, in my opinion, sir, it's only hypocrisy to pretend that they are for justice by pushing one Negro in and blowing it up all over the world to make it look like they're solving the problem when millions of black people in that state are still going to segregated schools and getting an inferior education.
Does your organization encourage members to attempt to enter schools that have been known as all white in the past?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad doesn't discourage us from attending white schools, but he does say that it is better for us to go to our own schools, and after we have a thorough knowledge of ourselves, of our own kind, and racial dignity has been instilled within us, then we can go to anyone's school and we'll still retain our race pride, our racial dignity, and we will be able to avoid the subservient inferiority complex that most Negroes have or are, that is instilled within most Negroes who receive this sort of integrated education.
Well, you have a private school operating here in Chicago, at least, and possibly elsewhere, and it's been a subject of controversy lately. What is the acceptance of people who come out of your private schools into schools of higher learning?
Yes, we have many students who have graduated from the University of Islam on 54th and Greenwood that are now attending other schools. In fact, just as an example, one of Mr. Muhammad's sons never attended any school in his life but the University of Islam. He later attended DePaul University. He also attended the University of Chicago, and at present he's attending Al-Azhar University in Cairo, one of the oldest Muslim schools in the world. And his daughter-in-law also, who went to school here, is attending the University of Cairo.
And then we have other students who have graduated that are attending other colleges and universities in this country. And in our school, we never have any delinquency problems. We never have any dropouts. We never have any disrespect for authority or disrespect for parents. We don't have any kind of juvenile delinquency. All of the things that the regular school system is complaining about, the critics and the most severe critics of Mr. Muhammad has to admit that we aren't plagued with those same problems in our own school.
I have listened to your leader at least on one occasion in convention here. It was 2 years ago, and at that time he advocated the separate state proposition of giving the what you call the so-called American Negro a separate state in which to live, to make their own way. Would you explain that philosophy, please? And have you had any support for it from anybody in official ranks?
Your first question first. To my understanding, what Mr. Muhammad has said is that he wants freedom, justice, and equality for the black people here in America, which you agree they don't have. If they did, you wouldn't have a race problem. And he says, if America cannot bring about freedom, justice, and equality for our people in this country, then America should allow us to leave. If we can't get along together, we should be allowed to depart and go someplace where we can set up housekeeping for ourselves. Then he says, if America doesn't want us to go back home among our own people, and at the same time they want to keep us here, since we can't stay here and get along together in peace, he says what America should do is separate part of the country and give us a section where we can live and give us everything we need to get our particular section functioning independently, support us for 25 years until we are able to function independently in a society of our own, and in this way the problem will be solved.
Mr. McCune.
You say there's no juvenile delinquency. What is the discipline that you
Number one, excuse me, practice, sir. One of the first things that Mr. Muhammad teaches is you have to set an example if you want others to do right. And he teaches the grown-up Muslims to live a highly disciplined and a highly moral, a life of high morals. And by the parents displaying the highest of morals in front of the children at all times, automatically this sets a pattern or an example for the children. And in our schools, our children, the emphasis is placed upon the recognition of authority. And by the children recognizing authority and respecting authority, it's easy for anyone who is in authority to teach the child and discipline the child and make the child aware of the importance of living a life in accord with the law even after he grows up.
How did you happen to join the Muslim movement?
I was in prison. I was a very wayward, criminal, backward, illiterate, uneducated, and whatever other negative characteristics you can think of, type of person, until I heard the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And because of the impact that it had upon me in giving me a desire to reform myself and rehabilitate myself for the first time in my life, and also being able to see the effect that it had upon others, this is what made me accept it. And plus, prior to hearing what he teaches, I had no interest whatsoever in anything serious or any kind of educational pursuits. And I noticed that after being exposed to the religious teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, immediately it instilled within me such a high degree of racial pride and racial dignity that I wanted to be somebody. And I realized that I couldn't be anybody by begging the white man for what he had, but that I had to get out here and try and do something for myself or make something out of myself.
What has been the growth of the Muslim movement? There are conflicting reports as to how many Muslims there are in the United States. Can you tell us?
Well, most critics say that the dissatisfied follow Muhammad, that the unemployed and the oppressed follow Muhammad. And I think you'll agree, the sociologists, the economists, and other experts say that the masses of black people are dissatisfied, unemployed, oppressed, and fed up. So that he actually gets his support at the mass level. But now you have other Negroes at the class level who pretend not to go for him, because usually their job has been given to them by the white man. They have positions to which they have been appointed, and they think that the only way that they can protect their job is by pretending in front of the white man that they don't go for Mr. Muhammad either. But you find
how many Muslims do you say there are in numbers?
I couldn't say. I've never heard him say, and he's the only one who would know.
500,000?
I couldn't say. I think that anyone who does say is not in a position to know, and anyone who knows wouldn't say.
What do you think that the Urban League and the NAACP have accomplished for your people? What's your attitude toward
that? Well, in their own way, they have been doing their best to bring about freedom, justice, and equality and human dignity for the black people in this country. But today you have such a an intense degree of dissatisfaction and impatience existing among our people at the mass level that it is almost impossible to come to them with a program that's going to take another 100 years to solve their problem and they still be satisfied to wait. So that they have, the Urban League and the NAACP has done a good job within their understanding. But today it takes more